Welcome to Power Play for May 18th, the day of an historic apology for the Komagata Maru incident. It was a steamship filled with Sikhs, Hindus, and Muslims, which was prevented from docking at Canada's west coast 102 years ago and turned back to India. We will ask one of the passengers' descendants why the apology was necessary and what it means. Also on today's show, well, there's been a flip-flop by the Liberals on the treatment of injured veterans. Despite promising change on benefits for injured soldiers, the Trudeau government is dragging the issue back into court to prevent it. We will have reaction from the legal community on that one. And the Harper government had quite the reputation as control freaks, but now the Liberals are following in their footsteps. A quiet plan to give Trudeau's cabinet greater power over votes and adjournments has our MPs fired up, and they will be here shortly. And a journalist put under unauthorized police surveillance in an RCMP search for the source of a leak will react to being tailed by the heat. But first, it may be 102 years into ancient history, but it has become a symbol in Canada and India of dehumanizing racism and cruelty for British subjects just looking for a new life here. The Komagata Maru incident saw all but 24 of the 376 passengers prevented from disembarking in Canada after arriving from Hong Kong, confined aboard the steamship under miserable circumstances for 2 months. They were eventually escorted out of Vancouver Harbour for the long voyage back to India. Today, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau apologized in the House of Commons, the second Prime Minister to do so after Stephen Harper apologized in Vancouver in 2008.
Canada does not bear alone the responsibility for every tragic mistake that occurred with the Komagata Maru and its passengers, but Canada's government was, without question, responsible for the laws that prevented these passengers from immigrating peacefully and securely. For that, and for every regrettable consequence that followed, we are sorry.
Well, Jaswinder Tour's grandfather was on board. He's seeking a new life in Canada. He joins me here in the studio. Mr. Tour, tell me a bit about your grandfather. He was sent back to India. Did he ever forget or forgive this incident?
My grandfather was well-educated, and he was a religious person. He said that we do have better memories of what happened to them. We tried to sponsor to my grandfather in 1969, right. But he refused to come. Hmm. He said that I will not go with the treatment that he was given and his friends on Komagata Maru ship. But he said his countries, Sikhs, Hindus and Muslims, the South Asians, the Sikhs will go to Canada. We have opened the doors for them. Mm. And they will live there peacefully and happily. And as you can see today, it's a strong, more than 1 million South Asians living, and they appreciate that, all 1 million. It is because of their sacrifices. Because once it went back to Bajbaj Ghat, Calcutta, the British tried to arrest them. And they said, no, why are you arresting us? Because we are coming back to our own country. But then they opened fire, killing 19, and rest of them are put in the jail for 5 years, including my grandfather.
Why is this so important to you? You've worked for more than a decade to get this. Why?
I worked for 16 years to get this apology where we are today. We did not ask for money. We refused to take money. I said my grandfather and my elders are not for sale. That's why the whole community said stood with the descendants, because we didn't ask for the money. And I said we wanted more respectful, a dignified apology in the House of Commons, an official apology. The reason behind is very simple. This apology is an official apology, mm-hmm. and because it's an official apology, our children, grandchildren, regardless of which race they are from, either they're from Japan or China, mm-hmm. or India or England, they will be proud. They will be proud to say that my grandfather sacrificed his life so we all Indo-Canadians could have a good life here. Now we have done the same thing for our future generations. Mm-hmm. They can be proud. Oh, we are not new immigrants. Even though they're born here, they were sometimes called new immigrants. So we go 130 years back with working with the Canadians.
And this is being noted in India as well, right? Throughout the populations there as well. They're really aware that
they are well aware of it. And I got phone calls from Hindustan Times, Indian Times, and there's magazines and the Indo-Canadian media in India. Media is covering, including Japanese media. I never thought they would come. They flew from New York, three-man crew, and they interviewed me for 7 hours, 3 hours at the Broad Inlet where the monument is, and 4 hours in my house. So they are very interested because it has some, this is their part of a history, because Kamagatamaru was leased by Gurdit Singh, right? And my grandfather was the only student in there. He was well educated, well off, and that's why he wanted to have a higher education.
I'm almost out of time, but why was the Harper apology deemed insufficient? I mean, he said more or less the same words.
That was not an official apology. We told, we'd like to thank him for apologizing, but it's like apologizing for Chinese head tax in Chinatown, right? And Indo-Canadians live across country. Mm-hmm. So a more appropriate place is the House of Commons.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had this happy day, and congratulations. I know you worked very hard to get it.
And we are really, really happy. And I'd like to thank the Right Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Justin Trudeau, because I met him twice before the election. And I asked him, would you apologize in the House of Commons, Mr. Trudeau, if you become Prime Minister? He said yes. And he lived up to his promise that he promised the descendants. And we are proud of our Prime Minister. All He's a compassionate person. And we like to thank all Canadians and all national media that stood with us from day one. We thank our national media. If it's our not national media, this story that you guys or national media, either print media, they took it to the Canadian living rooms. We could beat the drum as much as we want to, but you guys took it and educated the Canadians. You took this story into their living rooms. We like to thank the media and all Canadian brothers and sisters.
Okay, thank you, sir. I got to move on. In other news, and speaking of promises that might not be as well kept, the Trudeau government has decided to continue a court case aimed at blocking injured soldiers from enhanced pension benefits. This appears to fly in the face of their campaign promise to improve payments for veterans. Here's a flashback to Justin Trudeau as a member of the third place party last year to the very question of veterans being dragged through the courts.
There are a number of court cases. There are a number of court cases across this country that this government has taken on to deprive veterans of their benefits, to go after individuals for unreasonable reasons that we would actually cease if this government changes in October 19th.
Well, let's flash forward to this afternoon, where NDP leader Tom Mulcair pressed the new prime minister on this same promise.
After campaigning on a black and white promise to end the conservative court case against veterans, the Liberals are now taking veterans back to court with the same lawyers and the same arguments to try to block them from getting the benefits they deserve and that the Liberals promised. It's disgusting. The reaction from veterans, quote, it's a betrayal, and quote, they have turned the Liberal election campaign into a lie. Will the Prime Minister show a shred of decency and stop taking our veterans to court?
Veterans who've served this country extraordinarily well deserve more than people trying to play politics on their backs. Veterans across this country know that in Budget 2016, we put forward historic measures that will fix the 10 years of neglect.
Well, as you can hear, the opposition cut off the Prime Minister in mid-sentence there. We should mention that the Veterans Affairs Minister declined our invitation to explain his actions. But Donald Sorshan is the lawyer representing six Afghan veterans as part of a class action lawsuit, and he joins me from Vancouver. Donald, I got to ask you, this doesn't sound like much of a real change from the Harper approach. What's your reaction?
Well, the actual benefits are changing, but the problem is that the Department of Justice